This is the Canuck Central Postgame Show.
Besser springs Miller up the right wing. He's got a clean chance. Miller for the near circle. Shoots right out. Stop it. Nedeljkovic rebound. He scores! There was a very loud reaction here inside the building. Now here's Daniel Sprong with a burst of speed. Left wing to the Penguin. Live shot. Rebound. They score! Arshdy Baines! The kid from Surrey has his first NHL goal, and it's 4-2 Vancouver.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Clears it to center. It's knocked down by Hironov, but it comes free to Malkin. In alone on net. To the backhand, he scores. What a goal by Evgeny Malkin as he beat Kevin Lankinen, but then fell into the post at full speed and is lying on the ice behind the Canuck net, and the training staff of the Penguins are going to have to come out.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks win, edging the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-3 here at Rogers Arena, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Big Nazar, and we are going to bring in Landon Ferraro into the conversation coming up in just a moment. And as always, get in touch with us on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. A night full of great moments, one after another. Incredible atmosphere here at Rogers Arena. The fans up to the moment. We had first goal of the season for Elias Pettersson. Arshdy Baines got his first goal of his NHL career. And the Canucks came back from a two-goal deficit to win tonight's game. And a lot of buzz here at Rogers Arena. And, you know, Bick, it's one of those games where Canucks come back from a road trip. They had 1-3 in a row. Now they make it a four-game winning streak. And now you start feeling the good vibes come together. Some guys finally get their first goal, like Elias Pettersson. Baines was a great moment, but this kind of felt like now the team is not only winning games, but their star players coming alive.
It's so funny how it resembles what happened last year, right? Yeah. They start 2-2 in the first four, and then they come back from that road trip, and it really starts to snowball here, and it looks exactly like it did last year. They played such good hockey throughout the course of this game. The Pens had 12 shots late into the third, and they get a flurry obviously here late, but it looks very similar, and the building blocks now, every game just feels like it's built upon the last one, and it's starting to look more like what we saw last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And Landon, I mean, you know, the Canucks get down early in this game 2-0, and it wasn't like it was a lot of great chances for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They made the Canucks pay for a couple of mistakes, a couple of moments. The puck kind of goes their way, but the way they came alive in the second period was what you wanted to see.
Yeah, and I think they got their feet moving more.
Yeah.
You know, Pittsburgh came out way better than they did in Edmonton last night. They were a bit more joined up together.
Yeah.
Everything was a bit more clean as they were moving along, but Vancouver just kind of weathered the storm a bit. I know they got down, but at the same time, it never felt out of reach. And not only that, but you could see them start shift by shift, starting to claw back, starting to pull that momentum.
Yeah.
And then those goals start coming, and all of a sudden, everything starts stretching out. And Pittsburgh, for the longest time, couldn't make a pass, you know, end to end.
Well, and it's one of those things where Elias Pettersson's been talked about since the preseason, Landon. Let's be honest. We even had a conversation when you called the game from Seattle about, you know, the vibe around Pettersson, how fans were feeling about his performance, and how they wanted to see more after last year's end of season run and the postseason. And he hadn't scored a goal yet. And you saw the angst in the market build up. You saw the pressure even on Pettersson in his demeanor. But it felt like he was playing better the last couple of games. How big do you think it was finally getting that first goal?
Massive. I don't even think that's the right word for it. And you could see simply the puck goes in the net, and from the very next shift that he was on the ice, he was a completely different player. He was aggressive. He got down into the far right corner. He makes the move to one side, and then he aggressively pulled it back, and he jumped his feet about 3.5 feet. Like, I haven't seen that once from him this year. Like, just that burst of energy. You could see all of that kind of release, and all of a sudden he was into the game and he started to create. You know, it backed off a little bit in the third as they were trying to close it out, but, you know, I think that was a massive step for him and, you know, for his game trying to get back to where he, you know, he needs to be.
I imagine just the mental block of seeing that 0 turn to a 1 in the goal column. And, you know, we've been chatting about this on the post-game show. It just so many people have thoughts and opinions and analysis of it. And for me, it all just came down to at some point he's going to get that goal, and then we can really kind of all just take a breath and reevaluate and everything. And it was immediately noticeable, as you mentioned, on that next shift, he just felt like he had a burst of energy all of a sudden, and just the weight of the shoulder, 11.6, all these things. I imagine they all just kind of just went away, and it's like, okay, now my season has started. And I imagine as a player, just that first one all in a season is always so tough, even if you've scored so many goals, and even if you are a 100-point player, just getting that first one every season just feels like, okay, now you're rolling now.
Yeah, you know, it's a brand new year. Nothing that you did in the past really matters anymore. Like, you have to get yourself into this new season again. And every game that ticks by that you don't get yourself into it and involved on the score sheet, it seems like a harder and harder thing to pull yourself out of. Now, you made a good point in all of us and fans feel like, okay, he can get moving now. But not that he needs to keep the stress on himself, but it's very important that he doesn't back off and have that feeling as well. Just because he's got the first one now doesn't mean everything's going to come to him. If anything, it's you start working at your shot in practice even more. Now that you've seen it go in, okay, well, now I can work at some other things because I have a bit of confidence coming back. But it's not letting your foot off the gas if you're Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, and it's something that you hope to build on. It kind of felt like the whole team got going after that. I mean, the buzz in the building was incredible. The fans were really happy to see Pettersson score that first goal, and then Kiefer Sherwood does his thing. And as far as Sherwood and the relentlessness he plays with, and it seems like his intensity is only getting higher and stronger by each game. You even saw it late in the third period. He fights through a check along the wall, and he gives a great pass over to Blueger net front, who can't beat Nedeljkovic, but it creates a grade-A scoring chance. This guy just does not let up, and it's easy to see why the fans are falling in love with him already.
Yeah, I mean, you always love the guy that you can clearly tell gives everything for the team that he's playing for.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could see his confidence watching morning skate today even. Like, him kind of being a little lighter on his feet and a bit of his shots were coming off a little quicker. You could just see someone that is really at the peak of their confidence right now. And as good as all that is on the offensive side, I think it's even more important that with 2 minutes or under 2 minutes left in a one-goal game, it's Blueger, Heinen and Sherwood are the first line over while waiting for Miller to come next. Like, that's a massive vote of confidence from the coach. Like, those are, you know, two new players to the team, one in Blueger that's been here, but, like, you've quickly forced yourself to being a big part of this hockey team and, a part of it that you notice when he's not on the body. Like, Sherwood, just like the rest of the Canucks, there wasn't a ton in the first. And he couldn't get in on the forecheck because there wasn't really a chance.
Yeah.
As soon as he got in there in the second, and as the play picked up, he just opens up everything for his line again.
It was a rather chill night for him in the hit department. Only six tonight.
Only six. I mean,
so
he's
far.
Thrown like 10 and 12 already in games.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, that's starting to get a little lazy now.
Yeah,
only six?
In 12 minutes and 48 seconds. So you see the energy. But you mentioned the usage late in the game as well. Under 4 minutes to go, Sprong was out there, Brännström was out there, and a lot of people texted this in the second intermission after they get the four goals, all four lines. So everyone contributes, everyone's trusted late as well.
And, I mean, you can't ask for anything more if you're Rick Tocchet, you know, on the offensive side of the puck. You know, you want your stars and your big boys to be, you know, obviously leading the charge offensively, but the more that you can have a balanced offense, you don't have to worry about, you know, if we go back to last playoffs where, you know, the top guys started to kind of simmer out, and because it is harder, you get the, you know, the harder matchups night in and night out. Well, now you have the bottom six that can contribute and do it consistently like they have at the start of the season here. Like, that's just taking pressure off the top two lines. They don't feel like it's us or nothing every single night now.
Well, let's talk about the man we're discussing right now. He's down outside the Canucks locker room, and it is Kiefer Sherwood scoring his second goal as a Canuck tonight in a 4-3 Canucks comeback victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Kiefer, thanks for making time for us here postgame. You know, this crowd can really get going. It's not quite playoff buzz, but it must have been fun coming back home and being in front of a lively building after a long road trip.
Yeah, it's definitely good to be on this side of it. You know, the fans are extremely passionate, and some I got a taste of last year, obviously going against them. But When they get going, it's a huge momentum swing and advantage for us.
You know, it was no secret here that you had a great playoff series against Vancouver last year, and it's part of the reason that you're here this year. And yet you come in with so much energy and bring and just force yourself into each game. Like, as you go into a game, like, what is your mindset? Like, are you thinking all about hits, or like, what is it for you that gets you to play your best game?
Just try to stay simple and play my game. Obviously, energy and hard work is something that I've had to mold myself into, and you know, for me, it's been a long journey, but something that I've tried to focus on my identity and what I need to bring each and every night, no matter what. The stats are nice, but I need to impact every game and make my presence felt with whatever line I'm on.
What's been said here in the past 2 weeks for the new guys that are integrating here? Because early part of the season, we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, neutral zone tracking and your goal tonight. It's you're picking up two guys. You're aware of Pettersson on behind you. You're tracking the guy through the neutral zone. Like, well, what's happened here in the past 2 weeks that's allowed you to catch up here?
Well, I think the first and foremost, we address our physicality in the first two games. You know, it could have gone either way, obviously being in overtime, but obviously in Tampa, it didn't go as planned, and then, you know, when we watch video, it was pretty evident that we need to play the body more, and it's not just about hitting, but just, you know, eliminating guys and eliminating from the rush, and then from there everything opens up. It's funny, like when you play simple and go through bodies, a lot of times you do get the puck back. So I think it starts with there, and then obviously you got to protect the guts of the ice and you know, limit their grade A chances, and then from there things will open up.
Well, you guys, you mentioned you're building some chemistry with your line mates, Teddy Bluger and Danton Heinen, but Teddy Bluger, I think, has been really quietly very strong, and he made a number of nice plays alongside you. Do you think he's one of those guys that maybe goes under the radar considering how many good things he does every game?
For sure. I mean, he was obviously an animal in the faceoff dot tonight, but he's always on the responsible side of the puck, and as a winger, it frees up me and Heino to kind of do our thing, because we always know that he's going to take care of the defensive side, and he's always just on the good side of the battle. So he just puts his head down. He's an ultimate pro, and his 200-foot game is something that definitely might not be noticed each and every night, but it's something that helps out for us to contribute as a line.
So you have the offense is coming for your guys' line, you know. Heinen and Bluger and you, as soon as you were put together, you know, it's been working. But, you know, I notice at the end of the game there, Tocchet has your line out, you know, with a one-goal lead with under 2 minutes left. Like, what does that mean to you as a new guy coming to a new organization that, you know, within seven games you've earned, you know, clearly earned the trust of Tocchet already?
Yeah, I mean, you know, our line, I know the production's nice, but we got to take care of our end first. That's kind of our identity as a line. We got to be defensively responsible and limit them. I think from there, you kind of build a coach's trust over time. And, the thing about our line is we just try to play the right way. And then, from there, a lot of things will open up. But when you just play the right way and are predictable, it's easy for other guys to read off of you.
I do want to double back on the hits, because you've literally doubled your hits per game from last year, and you had 234 last year, and you're averaging like over seven this year.
We were joking that you were lazy tonight because you only threw six hits compared to like 12 the other night.
And I'm not sure if you're aware of like what the record is, but like you are on pace. I know it's seven games. You're on pace to obliterate the hits record since the NHL has been keeping track of hits. Like, what is it about this season that's different for you than it was in the past?
It's just try to play with that energy and that identity each and every night. The hits are obviously a part of that identity and playing hard to play against. I want to get in on their D and make them look over their shoulder over the course of a game, and from there things will open up. But yeah, it's funny. I played with Lozon last year and he got the record, I think. I think it's just a combination of just playing the right way and showing up to work every night. That's something that I just try to focus on, and I guess everything else will take care of itself.
And final one before we let you go, Kiefer. Arshdeep Bains gets his first goal, his first career goal. He's an undrafted kid. You know all about that. To fight his way to get to the National Hockey League, and he gets his first goal for his hometown team in his hometown barn. How cool was that to see?
It was electric. I think if you zoom in on the bench's reaction, we were probably more happy than he was. He's been a great fit for us, and just goes about his work every night. And it's nice to see him get rewarded for all his hard work.
Hey, Kiefer, thanks for your time, man. Great stuff tonight, and keep the win streak going.
Got it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Kiefer Sherwood, Canucks forward. Got a goal tonight, and a lot of praise for Archdeep Baines. Let's get to Baines, man. I mean, the kid scores his first goal as a Canuck in land, and you know what it is for a BC kid, let alone a lower mainland kid, who had to fight his way to get to the National Hockey League, and to have this moment, and for your first goal to happen in your hometown barn, like it's kind of stuff that, you know, it's storybook stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I couldn't even imagine what that would be like to really play for your hometown team and have all of this happen in front of all your friends and family and know that, you know, time zone's not an issue, everyone's awake, everyone's watching. Like, it just, everything came together so nicely for him. You know, I was lucky enough to come back into Vancouver with Boston, and, you know, it was my best game I ever had in the NHL of, you know, a goal and assist, and like, that to me was something that I'll always remember, and it's not because I had the good game, but it was, you know, walking out of the room after and all my family sitting there or standing there, you know, they'd been through so much with me. I couldn't even imagine what Baines is going to be like walking out tonight. You know, I'm sure he has some people here, but he's going to have a million, you know, alerts on his phone. Everyone's going to be coming in trying to, you know, try and show some love to him. And it's just one of those moments where, you know, all your hard work and everything that you've dreamed about, like, I know it's cheesy, but, you know, you're playing mini sticks as a kid in the basement, or you're playing road hockey. Like, I must have scored my first NHL goal a million times before I actually got to do it. And, you know, I know he's the same type of way of, you know, he loves the game. He's put everything into it. Like you said, he's undrafted. Like, those guys have to work so much harder. Like, just because you got drafted doesn't mean that you're going to make the NHL, but you definitely have your foot in the door compared to the undrafted guys. And for him to come in here and, you know, really bully his way into the lineup this year with how good he was in camp, it's just, you know, it's a real, you know, a real good feel-good story.
Mm-hmm. We spoke to him in the second intermission. You could just hear, like, the emotion in it. And
the pride in his voice.
It's, the amount of, obviously, dedication to get here, but then, you know, the just the awareness of, like, hey, I still got 20 minutes to go through. I looked it up. You scored 48 seconds into the game in your first NHL goal. What was the rest of that period like, or the rest of the game like?
Well, see, that was the beauty of it. It was the last game of the season in Carolina. We definitely, as Detroit, had way more fans in the stands than they did. They were done and gone out already. So I really got to kind of feel that moment. And, you know, Luke Glendening assisted on my first goal. He's, you know, one of my really good buddies in Grand Rapids from that time. We lived on the same floor in the same apartment. And so you have all those memories that stick with you. That's, you know, again, this is something where Baines is going to, you know, he's going to get home tonight. He's finally going to kind of exhale. He's going to get into bed. As soon as he puts his head down, I almost guarantee he's going to be like, I just scored in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, it's a feeling that it doesn't matter how many times you do it. It's the best.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Let's hit one more thing here before we let you go, Landon. And it's a text message to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Continue getting your thoughts in. And this one asks, what did you guys think of Daniel Sprong? He sets up Archdeep Baines for that goal.
I think he had a great game tonight. You know, he had the one penalty, but I wouldn't put that fully on him either. There was people around that could help, and if they would have just stepped into Graves, put a shoulder into him, and not saying you're hammering him, but
well, that's where they say chip the body, right? You gotta chip a body along the
way. Just take, put a shoulder into him, and now the puck pops away, and Sprong doesn't have to do that. And the reason I say that, it was, he had such a good game. His speed was very evident tonight. You know, he makes that great play, you know, pushing past the defenseman, flying down the left wing. You know, he's a goal scorer that chose to shoot far pad.
Yeah.
Like, that alone is showing a bit of maturity, right? Like, you want to make, like, I guarantee it went through his head, I can probably put this short side shelf.
Right. But create the rebound.
But if I miss, there's nothing else there. Put it to the pad, give my buddy a chance to go get it, and now all of a sudden you have not only Baines scoring his first goal, but you have, you know, a bit of equity built up with Tocchet.
And it seemed like he was doing a lot of the right things as well away from the puck. There was one play made in the first period. He jumped that pass. I think it was a Letang pass right in the neutral zone. He ends up getting a zone entry off of it. He was smart on rotations when a D-man pinched in. And those are the things you want to see, be in the right spot, like the coach mentioned.
Exactly. And there was also multiple points where he was F3 and he doesn't want, or, you know, the play's starting to come up the wall. And you could see him on his toes. Like
I want to go.
Go.
His instinct is to go, right?
Yeah, he wants to attack every single time. but you could see them have that inner little battle, and tonight the right side won of it, right? And now we're sitting here saying he had a very good game. I can almost guarantee Tockett's going to be saying the same thing. And while this roster is already kind of fighting in and out, Joshua's coming back decently soon. Like, players in that position need to start putting their resumes together that when it gets a little tight up here, you're not the guy out.
No, absolutely. Landon, great stuff, man, on the call alongside Brendan Batchelor. It's a lot of fun having you on the station. We look forward to chatting with you every Thursday, and I know you got multiple hits too. And every other day you're like co-hosting with Jamie. How's it working with Jamie?
Pretty good. I'm not too bad.
You don't need to lie.
Yeah, you don't need to lie.
Well, I will say, it's a very comfortable seat.
Yeah. Yes,
like,
yes,
you
yes.
have a lot of space. When I was in there with you two, I got wedged in the middle.
Yeah. You got
so
sandwiched.
If anything, I just found out I know who the nice guy is over at 650.
Yeah. Jamie is a nice. He's the dad of the bunch, right? So, I mean, we have a few dads, but he's got the most dad energy for sure.
There you go.
All right. Great stuff. That is Landon Ferraro, and that was your game review brought to you by BC Honda Dealers. Love a good save, and you love the all-new, all-electric Honda Prologue EV. Score up to $8,000 in combined rebates. Visit bchonda.ca. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We'll hear from the Canucks head coach, plus your reaction. That is next as the Canucks Central postgame show rolls on, brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. More coming up next on the Home Your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and don't miss an episode. This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You could tell that the fans were really happy for him to finally get that goal and score his first of the year. There was a very loud reaction here inside the building. Now here's Daniel Sprong with a burst of speed. Left wing to the Penguin line. Sharp rebound, they score! Arshdi Baines! The kid from Surrey has his first NHL goal. And it's 4-2 Vancouver.
A massive burst of speed from Sprong down the left wing. As he gets by the defenseman, it's almost a two-on-one. He chooses the far pad shot. It bounces right out to Baines, who's driving the net front, puts in his first NHL goal. That's a moment he'll never forget.
That was so special, I think. You know, I've been kind of, got a couple guys and, you know, Sedin's kind of talking before the game, saying maybe they think tonight's tonight, and it was just a hell of a play from Sprong and everyone throughout that play, and then the whole crowd kind of just looking out there. It was pretty emotional seeing everyone standing, and, you know, it's a really good cheer, and it was all the guys together. It's just a lot of emotions. Can't really put that together.
That is Arshdi Baines after scoring his first goal in the National Hockey League, and it happens at Rogers Arena, where he grew up as a Canucks fan, and that was him chatting with us during the second intermission after getting the goal. And the Sedins apparently called
more Sedinery.
The Sedinery, you're right. The magic touch comes through yet again. And Arshdi Baines crediting the Sedins for calling it tonight, saying he is going to get his first goal. And you are listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Canucks win 4-3 over the Pittsburgh Penguins. They were down 2-0 in this game and then scored four goals. And then Malkin made it 4-3 before the Canucks edged out the Penguins at full time. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text line. Box 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free 1-888-275-0650. We'll go to the phone boards in just a moment, Bick, but what is happening on the text inbox?
Lester the Sparky from Qualicum. Stoked for Baines. That's big for the locker room. Big second period. I like what I saw again tonight. Our goalie giving the boys confidence. Deserves the net till he loses it. Pens played hard in the third and pushed. Only knocked tonight as the team sat back too much in the third, but four wins is four wins. Dave saying game winner for Baines, and Pedersen scored. Still need to play the full 60 minutes and clean a few things up, but a great game.
Hey, banking points while you're still figuring out your game is what you need to do. Yeah, I mean, a lot of good things that can be better. We'll hear from the head coach as well coming up in a little bit. But before we get to more of your thoughts on the text inbox, let's hit the phone boards. Let's go to Coquitlam, where we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. I just want to say, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the three fastest goals in Canucks history. And also,
Fourth fastest.
Okay. Congrats to Arshdeep. First goal. Pettersson, first goal. Got his monkey off his back. I'm only worried about the Canucks playing 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you probably want to see them have a bit more. But overall, do you feel like they're getting on the right track?
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to see them play a full game. That's all. Thanks, guys.
For sure. Thanks for the phone call. That is Kevin calling in from Coquitlam. And, you know, we're seven games into the season now, right? And as much as the Canucks have now won four games in a row, it's positive. It's too early to make any real, you know, strong declarations of what this team is. It's still very much a work in progress in certain parts of their game. But what you wanted to see was them having their heads well above water while they figure things out. And now you've won four in a row. You're moving up, you know, the Pacific Division standings, quote-unquote. You're not falling behind early. But really, we need a 20-game sample to really know what this team is about. And by 20 games, I would imagine you're going to see a far-improved hockey team. And I think that's what's exciting, is you've seen them win games now. They're starting to get things come together. But we know there's still a lot of room for improvement for this team.
Certainly. And you mentioned the Pacific Division standings, right? They're in second in points percentage, right? I know, obviously, Calgary and LA has got more points. But Calgary had this hot start, 5-2-1. And the Canucks have now surged past them based on points percentage. 4-1-2 is greater. And so, again, it's just keep building, keep getting better. And, you know, I've said this a lot too. Like, you can't win the Stanley Cup in Game 3. You can't win the Stanley Cup in Game 4. And it's not going to look like it did in April. A, different rosters, but now different philosophies, different strategies, and it's coming together. And even as something as simple as we chatted with Sherwood, just think about the Braden Point goal from 2 weeks ago, right? Yeah. Sherwood and Suter unsure of who's taking up Gensel, and Gensel streaking through the neutral zone.
Easiest zone entry possible.
And then you watch this one. Sherwood picks up Beauvillier the whole way through and is picking up and is aware of Pettersson, Marcus Pettersson, activating into the zone. Stuff like this, like, it takes a little bit of time to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're seeing how effective that line was. I mean, Heinen with Kiefer Sherwood as well. I mean, those guys were playing really well. And Teddy Bluger, I think, has been very underrated with how well he's played to start this campaign. Let's go back to the phone boards, and let's go to Calgary, where we have Braden on the line. Braden, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
How's it going tonight, boys?
Great, excellent.
Man. Excellent. I think it's an excellent night for most Canucks fans tonight. Hey, quickly, I'm going to say a few weeks ago I called in and I said, you know, I was questioning the goaltending and, you know, where Demko was, this, and that. I'm going to say I owe Laikkanen an apology. That guy is a stellar goalie. And I apologize for ever doubting the guy, to be honest with you. He's been playing amazing. And it's amazing what a goalie can do when a team stands up tough in front of him. Second point, low-key, I think Sherwood, Sprung, probably the two best pickups that we made this year. Now, let's kind of like, it's game six or seven. Let's not get too far ahead of that. But I do feel that those two are going to make probably some of the biggest impacts that this team's going to see this year. Pettersson got his first goal of the season, which is great. Everybody else freaking out about it. I've seen a different player in Pettersson this game. So let's go Canucks, boys. All right, you guys have a good night.
Hey, thanks, Braden. That's Braden in Calgary calling in. You can grab a phone line as well, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650.
Hey, big shout-out to Braden. We're always pro-accountability, right? So you fire off the take.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you say, you know what? Hey, my bad. My bad.
Listen, you know what? Most Canucks fans want the team to do well, right? And if you're wrong about somebody who's doing well for your team, you should be happy about it, right? And
100%.
And that's exactly what it's about. And
but really quickly on the Sherwood thing, Basketball Phil texted in, Sherwood has already clinched Unsung Hero, which is probably true. Although we might sing his praises too much. And change the narrative. But, yeah, certainly when you're playing 12 minutes a night and you're filling up the hit count, That is he's going to be a popular candidate for Unsung Hero.
Yeah, absolutely. And considering the amount of attention he's getting, he may not be too unsung by the time we get to the end of the season anyways. And on the point with Kevin Lankinen, he made a number of really good saves tonight, but the biggest save was when they're down 2-0 pick.
Yeah, it was a 3-on-1.
Yeah.
And he bails out Desharnais, who kind of gets a bit too high, gets above Bunting, the puck bounces over
gets
him.
Gets caught at the blue line,
It was on the near side board, so we didn't get a great look at it. But nevertheless, the puck squirts by, and it's Bunting who sets up Letang, who shoots against the grain, aiming to the bottom right, and Lankinen gets this big pad on it, and soon thereafter, you know, Pedersen's the one that gets the goal back the other way. It was after a face-off, but nevertheless, it was pretty bang-bang off of that 3-on-1 chance, and you're down 2-0 on home ice. Here's this team on a back-to-back, and you needed to get that one, and he stepped up in big moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Another strong performance from Kevin Lankinen. I don't think we can fault him on any of the goals at all, right? Like, I mean, even the Malkin goal, he comes in alone, and great move by Malkin.
Yeah.
Malkin tonight, to me, was the best Penguins player.
Yeah, and even he had some moments in the first period in the D zone. Like, Hoglander kind of put him on toast in the corner there.
Yeah.
But and there were some odd moments. But, Malkin was probably the best player.
Yeah, absolutely. A strong game from him. Did score for the Penguins. Brought them within one in the third period. Made it a bit dicey, but the Canucks held on to win 4-3. Before we go back to the phone boards and get to more reaction, what is happening on the text inbox? This one here says, Mike in Toronto, great second period for the boys. Can hardly wait for Dakota to join this forward group. He and Sherwood will be insane. Who do you think comes out for him? That's Mike in Toronto. I mean, good problem to have, because right now I'm not sure who you want to take out of the lineup in the forward group.
Boy.
Right? I mean, Bane's just scored. He's been the easy guy because
– yeah.
Two-way contract, you know, still a young guy cutting his teeth, but he just scored his first goal.
It was 9 minutes and 25 seconds tonight for Bane, so just based on the minutes, maybe it's him. 10:37 for Sprong. But again, like, we're just talking about someone who just scored their first NHL goal. There's no rain on the parade right now. Again, I don't know if this happens by next game, and maybe this is 2 games out, 3 games out, 4 games out, whatever it is, for the return of Dakota Joshua. But, yeah, this is a problem that I'm sure Rick Tocchet is going to be happy to figure out the puzzle, because he's a big puzzle guy.
Yeah.
It's challenging. When they play like that tonight and everyone's contributing, everyone's playing a vital role, everyone's getting out there late as well to protect a one-goal lead.
I mean, it was a real four-line contribution tonight.
Yeah.
All 4 lines were on the scoreboard. 4 goals off all 4 lines came through, and that's a big performance, right? And I don't think Dakota is going to be ready for Monday anyways, so I don't anticipate any lineup changes, but maybe on Wednesday, but certainly on the 3-game California trip, I would imagine we're going to see Dakota Joshua. And we were chatting between the break after we had Landon on, and we talked about Dakota Joshua to this forward group. You have Kiefer Sherwood. You have the relentlessness of guys like Hoglander and Garland. You know, the heaviness a guy like JT can play with. Brock Besser's been really good along the walls. You know, Teddy Bluger's a great forechecker. You kind of go through the list of players on this team, and it's like, this is a really hard forward group to play against. They have speed. They have tenacity. They have physicality. And obviously, they have talent. So this forward group, I don't think we've seen the best of them, but you can see how it can be a real menace.
Yeah, like, who's the lightest player? It's Garland. But he doesn't play light.
No, he does not play light at all.
It'd be like Suter and Pedersen, basically, are the lightest players. And Pedersen, again, I know people are going to smirk or shrug, but he doesn't play small.
No, Pedersen, okay, so Pedersen's 6'2". I know he falls over a lot, and that gets people, you know. But he's always leading this Canucks in blocked shots amongst forwards. And he's also amongst the leaders in hits. Now, I know he's not the same level as Sherwood or JT, but this is a guy that threw over 100 hits last year. Like, he's not a soft player. Mm-hmm. He forechecks well as well, decent along the boards. They don't really have any easy players to play against up front.
It's basically, it would be Suter. But
yeah, but even him, you see how I thought
he plays on the right side of the puck all the time.
How good was Suter tonight?
Yeah.
Like, we haven't even mentioned him once, but look at the way his line played. And as much as, you know, Baines and Sprong are getting credit, like, Suter tonight was digging pucks out, winning puck battles. He won draws. He was
right after the Baines goal. He has a nice give and go with Baines, and he's the one that gets a shot off on that opportunity. Yeah, like, it rounds into form. And again, we've last season, we learned all about Pew Suter and how responsible he is. He gets on the right side of the puck, and he makes offensive plays. Again, it just another credible body And he even had a chance in the first period, too, where Penguins don't rotate fast enough and Garland finds him in the slot. Just a clever player who can play in different roles, too. If you need him in the top six to spell somebody, he can do that. It's versatility. Yeah. And, you know, as we're talking about just not a light team, right, we're talking about the bottom end, let alone, hey, you got those trees back there of Myers, Desharnais. You like to cite the fact of JT Miller, the centers who put up 100 hits and do all these things that are taller than 6'1 and all these things. Like, Brock puts the body in. Susie can do it. It's through and through, everyone.
Yeah, like even a guy like DeBrusque. I know Renfro Marco is asking us, any analysis on DeBrusque? What's your take on getting him going? Shout out to all my boys in the Valley texting in. They got me going wild over the Baines goal.
That's just really
Renfro,
quickly, too, Jeremy
Marco.
And Surrey. You know, it is Vancouver. Got to throw in some negativity. Let's talk about Jake DeBrusque. Jeremy and Surrey, quick to text about that one as well.
Yeah, so I actually thought DeBrusque had some good moments tonight. I thought the one moment where you can tell he's probably overthinking as opposed to just playing off a reaction was the 3-on-1 chance. JT's a trailer behind him. It's Carter. Was it Besser? Was Besser or Garland?
Besser was on
the wing, and he tries to feather a pass over to Besser, misses him, and maybe the best play would have been to drop it off to JT Miller behind him.
It was Greslick was defending, and he had JT right behind him, and he had Besser, and he beats Greslick, so fair play, but then you're under duress trying to make this pass across when a 100-point player is right behind you.
Yeah.
Who would have had a clean pass to Brock Besser, or JT can rip it past someone, and he just kind of overplayed it in that spot. I actually think he got unlucky, too, on the Malkin goal, because, look, Malkin shrugs guys off, right?
Yeah.
He just does that. And he shrugs DeBrusque off, but DeBrusque actually pokes that puck away.
Yeah.
And it just goes into the neutral zone and makes it look worse. You know, he had a play, too, where Desharnais gets walked by Puljujarvi, and who's the one that gets back?
That was a great defensive play.
It was DeBrusque.
Puljujarvi had a lot of time and space, and DeBrusque took it away from him.
And now Achari ends up getting a chance on the rebound. He just kind of pokes it wide. Again, we're still waiting for the first goal. It's some defensive plays are nice, but it's need to see that one in the column.
Yeah, I think, you know, a guy who's pressing a bit, I think it's too early to make any declarations on Jake DeBrusque's game. Some positives, obviously a player who can do a lot more than what he's done, and it's still early days with his tenure in Vancouver, so we'll revisit this as time goes on. But I thought overall, strong game, good on the forecheck alongside JT Miller and Brock Besser tonight. We'll get to some of your texts in a moment. Let's go to the phone boards again. Let's go to Dallas, where we have Nav on the line. Nav, thanks for calling in, buddy. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, what's up, boys? Long time no talk.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Man.
Yes, I know it's been a long time, but how you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. What are your thoughts on this big Canucks win here tonight?
Honestly, this is the first game I actually got to sit down and watch the whole game from start to finish. They look really good. Sprong looked good today. And one thing I wanted to bring up was, like, Petey. A lot of people hating on Pettersson, but I can see what he's going through, and I'm going through the same thing out here. It's all a mental thing. When you are that good and you have skill, you're not going to lose it. But when you're not confident, you're not going to use your skill.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%, man.
What do you guys think?
No, I'm with you. I think confidence plays a big part. Thanks for the phone call, man. Good to hear from you again. That's Nav in Dallas. And you saw it, his next shift after scoring the goal, he started doing some of his deeks in the offensive zone. You could tell, you know, he kind of came alive a bit more. He felt better. And I kind of turned to you and said, you know, when you watch like an EPL soccer match and it's like 0-0 and it's like the most, you know, kind of grudge match going on, as soon as one team scores, they come alive. And next thing you know, they're like moving the ball around looking like they're, you know, the old version of Barcelona. And that's kind of the same thing for some of these players sometimes when they don't have a bunch of confidence and all of a sudden they score a goal and it just kind of brings them back to life. And that's kind of what we saw from Elias Pettersson tonight a little bit.
From tiki-taka to piti-taka, essentially what you're going for.
Not bad. And I mean, and I still think Pettersson could be a lot better than what we saw tonight. And that's why, like, even he's picking up a couple points and, you know, maybe it's not as bad as it was, you know, the first few games of the season. I'm not at the point where I'm sitting here saying, oh, Petey's back, he's figured it out. We still got to give it some time to see exactly what this is. But obviously, he's played a lot better in recent games, stringing points together now. And him getting that first goal, I think, is going to do wonders for his game moving forward.
He's got a 3-game point streak. And I wondered on the show yesterday, the People Show, if it's not even so much about if he does it, it's how he does it. and if it needs to look a certain way. Because, again, he did have 2 points in the last two games coming into tonight, extends the point streak to 3 games. For me, it might just be about the goals right now for people. They want to see him put the puck in the net. They want to see him shoot. Like, we were getting texts in the first intermission. He's not shooting. And then even right before he scored, the same thing. It's like, oh, he passed up this moment on the power play. It ends up being 2 shot attempts tonight for Elias Pettersson, which is, again, a low number. One of them goes in, ends up playing 19-11, 40% in the draw. By the way, JT took 20 draws himself and goes 60% in the draw. But, yeah, again, it's I still want to see more.
Yeah, 100%.
I know that's I'm not sure if that's harsh, but on a night when you scored a goal, but like there will come a time with more. I'm very comfortable betting on the talent of Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same, but it's, you know, he hasn't quote unquote arrived yet,
sure.
But it's getting closer. I think, you know, strong game from his line, scoring that first goal is massive. Kurt in the George says Pettersson is always criticized for falling, but he maintains team possession of the puck. Hughes and Pettersson are the two best players on the team for doing that. That's Kurt in the George praising Elias Pettersson. Capitalist says DeBrusk is on a brand new team. Brand new systems, relax. Very different for a top six forward versus Sherwood playing a simple game in the bottom six. That's Capitalist texting in. A fair point about Jake DeBrusk. And we have this one here from Owen and Burnaby says, I was at the game tonight. Nice to see things rounding into shape. Heinen, Bluger, and Sherwood look great. Baines with Suter and Sprong also look good. And the D pairs look solid. Can't say enough about Lankinen. Great game overall and a joy to be at Owen and Burnaby. And yeah, if you were at the game here tonight, you really would have loved the atmosphere. It was a great vibe here at the building.
No, we've mentioned this a lot. The fans over the last, I would say, 4 years, they've hit the right notes.
Well, even, since the pandemic, really.
Yeah, like since the return to the rink, and even in moments when they've had to be vocal for negative reasons, they've hit the right moments. They haven't been overly panicked inside the building. When they wanted to voice their displeasure, they voiced it at the right times. And when they've wanted to back the team, spur the team on, and you just think about the environment now when JT Miller scores or is on announced on the PA, and Connor Garland had a moment. They chanted Petey, not totally connected everywhere on the rink. I guess that one needs a little smoothing over. But again, there was an attempt to make a Petey chant and a huge ovation after his goal was announced as well. The Baines moment, like everything was perfect.
Yeah.
That 9 minute sequence there was really, really nice because, it, as we mentioned in the intermission, it escalated, right? It was Pettersson. You got, oh, what a relief. Sherwood, who's put up all these hits and was firing again tonight, he gets the goal. He gets a nice reward from the crowd. JT Miller does it. And then to cap it all off with our Steve Baines. It was an unbelievable night tonight from the fans.
It really was. And Kirk Kukutlum says, some great moments tonight. Good to see Baines get his goal. Pettersson, too. Beating a team of 37-year-olds who got shellacked the other night should have been more emphatic, and that's Kirk and Quillam. Fair point, but I actually thought we would see a better performance from the Penguins. It's a team with a lot of pride, and the last time, like Reach mentioned on the pregame show, they played poorly on the first game of a back-to-back. They won their second game, and they had a better game. You have to give credit, too, to a team that, you know, was playing with a bit more pride tonight after having a really bad showing last night in Edmonton. But yeah, I mean, still room for improvement, of course. And I would imagine the Canucks head coach would want to see some things get better, but probably happy. And we'll get his thoughts coming up just after the break. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar, and you are listening to the Canucks Central postgame show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and postgame on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Canucks Central postgame show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The fans are loving it, and the Canucks are back in the offensive end. Sherwood dumps it behind the Penguin goal. Letang, far corner, gets it up the boards for Brian Rust. Rust to the Vancouver line. Poke check. Sherwood gets it free. 2-on-1 for the Canucks. Bluger, right wing. Sherwood driving the net. Bluger to Sherwood. He scores! Kiefer Sherwood.
Sherwood extends his point streak to four games.
You know, our line, I know the production's nice, but we got to take care of our end first. That's kind of our identity as a line. We got to be defensively responsible and limit them. I think from there, you kind of build a coach's trust over time. And, you know, the thing about our line is we just try to play the right way. And then, you know, from there, a lot of things will open up. But when you just play the right way and are predictable, it's easy for other guys to read off of you.
That is Kiefer Sherwood joining us here on the post-game show. Scored a goal tonight and helped the Canucks win 4-3 on home ice, coming back from a two-goal deficit against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you are listening to the Canucks Central post-game show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. We are going to go to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach in just a moment. But, Bick, let's get a couple texts in here. Fans very excited with the Canucks on a four-game winning streak.
Unsigned text, Canucks needed that W. Penguins look like a bad team. They gave the Canucks some grade A's. This one from K8. Is that Kate?
Yeah, Kate.
All right, Kate in the Ridge. The crowd went insane when the boys scored. What a second period that was. This one honestly felt like my son scored when Pettersson scored. And this one from Spiritual Advisor. You know, we do joke, though, with the my son thing. There's my guys, my boys, and my sons.
Nothing is bigger than my son.
Yeah,
right?
My son is the highest compliment. Yeah. It escalates from guys, boys, and to son. Then Spiritual Advisor. If all the games so far this season were different meals, this one would be a chili because it had a little bit of everything.
Oh, you know, it did have a little bit of everything.
Elite meal, too. A chili.
Yeah. And actually, you know, the media meal tonight did have some chili, by the way, and it was pretty good.
Oh, I missed
that.
The
soup, yeah, they had some chili. Brutal. But so the game started off, before the game started, Tyler Myers was recognized for having played 1,000 games in the NHL, and he did that on the road. And you can see, you know, it was a very special moment for him. His family was out there, and you can see the tears in his eyes, too. Great.
Former teammates were in the building as well.
Like Andrew Ladd and some of his Winnipeg Jets.
Brandon Sutter was in
there. Yeah, so they were there wearing the Boys Been Talking t-shirts for 1,000 games as well in support. And you can tell he's a guy who's very well-liked and has been on multiple teams. A very emotional moment, too, and a nice touch by the team. Not only did he get the silver stick, they brought little mini ones, and somebody made the joke that they gave garland sticks to the kids. And I was like, come on, guys. Like, what are we doing here? Like, come on. But anyways.
Why? Why?
I read the text. It was a...
But yes, that was awesome. I imagine the scuff marks, these silver sticks.
So it was cool. So you had that moment, right? Pettersson scores his first. Got the crowd into it, right? And after that, Sherwood scored. The crowd went nuts, too. And obviously, when Baines got his goal, it was just another level of excitement in the building. But when JT scored, the fans are chanting JT Miller. And it was a game where the fans just had so many moments to really celebrate this team. And the fact they won made for a really cool, fun vibe and atmosphere here at Rogers Arena. All right, we mentioned the thoughts of the head coach. We'll get to more of your reaction as the show goes on. But let's go to the podium with the head coach, brought to you by Tiletown.
Well, I just thought the first period, we were a lot of circling. You know, I think we weren't playing straight lines. Pittsburgh came to play, and I think, you know, he adjusted a couple in the second period. I think the guys did a good job of adjusting themselves. They knew they were swinging too much. And then, obviously, you know, there was a 10-minute spurt when we were playing really well, and we were all over them. So give the credit for the players recognizing what we had to do.
Well, we saw all four forward lines grab a goal. What does that say about the depth of this team?
I think there's some good plays out there. Like, there's some actual, like, good possession time, but we're actually, you know, we're converting on some nice plays. I mean, you know, the 2-on-1 was a big play for us, you know. The conversion, the plays, some of the concepts we've talked about in training camp and especially the last week, you could see guys trying to apply it out there. So that's nice to see.
How good do you feel for Arsh?
Yeah, no, it's really nice. I mean, it's great. You know, we talked about it. I was talking to Footy after the game. You know, you remember your first goal in the NHL. It's pretty special. Fans were, you know, local kid cheering him on. I think that's a special time for him. I hope his parents were in the stands. That was nice.
How much have you seen him grow his game since you came to know him when you arrived here?
Yeah, I think I think they did a hell of a job down in Abbotsford. You know, Jeremy Colton, and now you know, even Manny in the summer talking to him. And I just think that he's really, you know, I got to give the development guys, Komisarek and Samuelson, those guys did a hell of a job developing. And now you get more of a finished product when a guy's up here. So he's trying to create an identity. You know, a fast player, can make some plays, but also can check.
On Petey's goal, I mean, obviously there's the forecheck to make that all happen.
Right.
But for him to find that soft spot to shoot from where he's wide open, I mean, that clearly is part of the process.
Yeah, I think everybody's, you know, you're really happy for that. You know, like this season, he's hit like 3 crossbars on a post. You know, if he, you know, 2 inches, you know, all season, he's probably got 4 goals. So that, you know, I think that's the shot you see, and it was just a hell of a shot. You know, that's the, and you know, obviously Garland, that play there. But they've been, last 2-3 games, they've been around it. You know what I mean? Petey's been around it, and you know, he's just got to stick with it. Great, great shot, and you know, I think he's enjoying playing with those guys.
After Malkin scores, you know, the game gets tighter than you want. Yeah. How did you feel your team managed the last 5 minutes?
Pretty good, pretty good. I thought the third we were just, you know, I mean, I'm not going to bitch about a win, but, you know, that third period, I'd like to see us a little bit more, put our stamp on it. I think we kind of, we didn't have as much possession time offensively and stuff like that. So I don't know if we're hanging on, but I do like at the end how we defended, which was good. There's a lot of pride in that room over there in Pittsburgh, so they're not going to go quietly. So, you know, it's dangerous, still a dangerous team.
Going back to Baines, he's a guy who didn't make this team out of camp, but you said right away, like, he's going to come up soon.
Yeah.
What was it that you liked from him in camp, and how have you seen his game develop since then?
I think the speed factor. You know, I think the speed, whether he plays high in the lineup sometimes, I could bump him up, or he plays as a fourth line guy. I think right now, and I thought Daniel Sprong was excellent tonight, like, by the way. I thought the fourth line was good. But when you have speed on the fourth line, that can check. Is the key, and I think that's what Bainesy does. You know, he's got some speed, but he's starting to have an identity of like he can check also too. He's finding the positions where to be defensively. You know, he's starting to, his game's growing. You know, he's working at his game.
And on a completely other note, talk to us about what you saw of the power play tonight.
Yeah, I thought some good looks. I mean, really good looks. I think Bess had at least 4 or 5, you know, great chances. You know, he's one of our top, you know, he's like one of our best goal scorers, and he, you know, usually makes those. But he had a ton of, like, they get chances like that. I can live with, you know, what they, I don't know, were you 0-for-2 or what were you, I mean, 0-for-2. You can live with the, not getting a power play goal if you're getting those chances. So I actually like the setup last couple of games of how we're doing it right now.
Hi, Rick. Celebration of 1,000 games for Tyler Myers.
Yeah.
How important is he as a leader on this team?
Yeah, no, you saw the, you know, the players and, you know, the messages and stuff. You know, he's a well-liked guy in the room. And he's a guy that's always trying to, you know, he wants to play good every game. And, you know, if he has a tough night, he's the first guy the next day in the room. You know, he's in Footy's office or my office, or he'll ask questions. You know, he's this guy that, you know, he's just always, you know, like they said, he's a voice of reason too. You know, he's a guy that can go in the room, and when we leave, and the guys respect that, so it was nice to see his family out there. It
looked like he had an A on his sweater tonight instead of Miller. Can you let us know, like, how that happened?
Yeah, Millsy went to, I think, the trainers, and the trainers asked me, you know, is it okay if I said, yeah, it doesn't, you know, I thought it was a great gesture by Millsy to give it to his buddy.
Rick, you went out of your way to describe Sprong's performance tonight as excellent. I'm sure you've had some conversations over the past 2 weeks as he's been sort of in and out of the lineup. Did he show you what you need to see, even aside from the assist tonight, in his performance?
Yeah, I did. I saw a lot of great things, and I liked his attitude. Like this week, as a coach, you look at guys' attitude sometimes. His attitude was excellent, so I give him a lot of credit. We knew this was going to be a long term in the sense that, you know, we had, you know, if he played a couple of games, we'd have to work on this as staff or whoever talked to him, and we'd kind of rotate. And he took the information, and he practiced really well. And like I said, you know, I don't know who picks the stars, but, you know, I thought he was a star tonight. He played really, really well. Like, along the wall, he went through his guys. He did the little things that he needs to do, but that goal, the Beans goal. I mean, that's pretty special what he did. You know, going around a guy, the speed, making it, the shot selection was great. Like, he didn't rip it high and wide. It was actually, I think he had, tried to do that, tried to make the shot pass, you know, whatever the POP they call that, pass off the pad. And I thought he really meant to do that. So hockey IQ play was great there.
With after the Pedersen goal, you get the three off the rush, right? Yeah. And you mentioned sort of seeing some of what you guys had worked on in training camp. I mean, is that sort of the practice of what you theorized wanting sort of in evidence during that Avalanche there?
Since I've been here, I think that 8-10-minute stretch of the rush chances is the best I've seen this team do that for me. Like, in the year and a half I've been here, that was excellent. So you can tell the stuff that we're practicing, the stuff that they're applying, it's working. And the conversion, obviously, you know, that 2-1 was big with Teddy and Sherwood. But I thought we played really fast. Our neutral and regroups got us off the rush. So, that's the stuff we're looking for. You know, it can change your game. You know, you're down 2-0, have an average first period. All of a sudden, if you can become a good rush team, look at Edmonton. You know, there's been periods where, you know, they don't do anything for a period. All of a sudden, they get three rush chances, and all of a sudden, you know, so they're one of the best rush teams in the league. So I think we're trying to learn from that, being able to, you know, there's a spurt there that you can do where you can get back in the game.
What about Brännström tonight and just kind of what he's doing in terms of puck moving and making it hard to take him out of the lineup at some point?
Yeah. I mean, probably can give him a few more minutes. Even tonight, like, he's a feisty guy. Like, I think what people worry about, he's a small guy, he's going to get pushed around in the corners, and I haven't seen that, to be honest with you. I've seen him really good box outs. Obviously, he wheels the net really well. He's like Huggy, you know, like Hughes, he can do that. But I find his feistiness is there. Really pleasantly surprised how he's playing. Like, you know, we grab a guy like that off the waivers, and he's all of a sudden, you know, this guy's game's coming. So there's a lot to like about him.
How close is Joshua to getting into games? And then how do you fit him in, given how well the top two lines are playing?
Well, it's a good problem, but, you know, he's going to be a guy that's obviously, you know, the puck's rimmed or any kind of net front presence. He's going to just bolster our lineup. Whether he plays here soon, I don't have exact date. We're still trying to figure the best way to get him in. You know, whether, I don't know, does he go down to Abs for a game for a condition? We don't know. I mean, these are the stuff we have to talk to. I'll talk to Dakota about it, but he's getting close.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tiletown. For vision to reality, Tiletown has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. And, you know, the head coach, full of praise for his team, but also mentioned he didn't like some of the things in the first period that they cleaned up. Didn't like how in the third, maybe, he said we weren't sitting back, but wants to see them kind of kill the game more, maybe take it to Pittsburgh a bit more than they did in the third. But overall was happy with how the team responded and how they got this win, and obviously was very complimentary of the players you would imagine he would be, Baines, and especially Daniel Sprong, who he went out of his way to single out.
Yeah, and honestly, it was fine for the most part in the third period, and that the Malkin goal is even such a weird play because there's a big collision between three players, Crosby being one of them, I think it was Dernay and Roenick, and that's why that puck just kind of is available for Malkin to just skate off ice and reattach himself to it, and then there's a bit more of a surge there from Pittsburgh, but it took them a while to get their first shot in the third period to begin with, but that goal just kind of sparks it for them. But, you know, generally speaking, if this is something you can build upon moving forward, which through these last four games they have gotten better from Florida to Philly to Chicago to now Pittsburgh, and it's encouraging.
Well, now you have a couple of tougher opponents coming up at home, right? You have the New Jersey Devils, who considered a contender, maybe haven't gotten off to the start they had hoped this season, but again, a team with a lot of new faces, new head coach, still a very dangerous team. And then the Carolina Hurricane, who also are kind of going through some growing pains this year, or some of the issues, but they're a team that obviously is very good on the forecheck, plays a clean style,
they're
a good road team.
Wins,
yeah,
right?
So they're
in the same boat as the Canucks, right? 714 points percentage here.
So that's going to be a bit tougher as far as opponents go the next couple of games, but that's what you're hoping them, hopefully see the Canucks even round their game out even a bit more. On Elias Pettersson, he mentioned the last two or three games, Petey's been around it with that line, great shot, and he mentioned he could have had three or four goals this season, and if he had, maybe the discussions around him would have been different, but mentions he enjoys playing with Garland and Hoagland, and you're kind of seeing that here tonight. You saw that here tonight.
It's gone better, obviously, for Pettersson, and just reference the shot. Just heck of a shot, and the fact that the last two, three games that they've had moments, and he finally converts one here.
Yeah, he does. A nice goal from Elias Pettersson, a nice play by Tyler Myers at the blue line, and obviously yeah. Connor Garland setting him up too. And, I mean, do you want to run through some of the goals here real quick?
Sure.
So, I mean, the first goal that happens, it was a great night for Tyler Myers. Maybe the first goal that happened, though, maybe he needs to close out on Pavilion a little bit quicker. But outside of that, it's one of those things where, hey, sometimes a point shot gets tipped and yeah, it finds a way to get through.
I do think sometimes we get locked into the idea of, like, every goal is preventable. And
yeah.
You do have to give the other team credit sometimes when
it
they make a play.
Quickly too.
And Marcus Pettersson makes a really quick decision here, and Myers doesn't attach to Pavilion fast enough. But it's a credit to how Malkin and Marcus Pettersson get this play off.
Yeah.
And get the opportunity for Beauvillier to tip it. But, yeah, there's not much in it. And the Canucks were changing. Rust had a full access through the Penguins' defensive zone and up the ice. He was able to get bypass some guys because they were coming off the bench. And, yeah, it was quick.
Yeah, and, I mean, it was 1-0 at that time. And then the Canucks really took the game over. They had a number of chances 5-on-5, but especially on the man advantage. Michael Bunting took a 4-minute double minor, high-sticking JT Miller. And you heard Tocchet mention Brock Besser could have mentioned three or four chances. I had him for 5 high-danger chances on that power play, Bic. It's a miracle that Besser didn't score tonight. Like, he had a number of chances. And I'm not critical of him. He was great yeah. tonight. He was fantastic. Just couldn't score, and that happens sometimes. But the Canucks don't score. They don't score on the power play coming up in the second period. And give Pittsburgh credit. They started the second really well, and Brian Rust made it 2-0, scoring a goal similar to the one Bluger scored on a road trip, corralling a shot that went wide by Anthony Beauvillier and driving it around the net to beat Lankinen.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it was very similar to Bluger. Now, that one was on a rebound, but this one goes off the backboards.
Rebound-ish, right?
Yeah,
goes off the boards.
It's
yeah.
just a quick play by him when he beats Lankinen to the post.
Yeah, there isn't much there. I mean, those two goals – if you want to be hypercritical, you can find something. But to your point, I mean, there's always minor little things yeah. that happen, and sometimes, you know, teams
find a way
to score.
There was a shot towards the bench after that goal, and we wondered.
Yeah, because Tocchet looked a little exasperated. I was wondering if he didn't like the change
yeah,
on the first goal.
Because you watch this play, and it actually even happens well before the goal, but Myers gets the puck, and he's got all the time in the world. There's nobody close to him, but he has no options.
Yeah.
And because all the guys are changing, and so he just winds up flipping it out of the zone or just putting off the boards and out, and that just invites more pressure into the Canucks zone. And Malkin eventually gets the puck, goes out of the zone, comes back in, and eventually Beauvillier gets this shot that Russ is the one is able to get there. But it all kind of starts from Tyler Myers having no options to yeah. go anywhere and just has to get rid of the puck.
Yeah, and that made it 2-0, and after that, cue the comeback. Elias Pettersson scored. We mentioned the play by Myers and Garland feeding Pettersson. And then Kiefer Sherwood tied the game at 2. Only seconds later, the crowd already buzzing about Pettersson's first goal of the season. And honestly, you got to give Sherwood a lot of credit for the defensive play and also finishing off a nice pass from Bluger.
Yeah, I think both Sherwood and DeHernay play a big role in this. DeHernay kind of sweeps the Brian Rust entry away, and Sherwood is there tracking Beauvillier. He's there aware of Pettersson, and he's able to just poke that puck away from Pettersson. And you can see Pettersson immediately, Marcus Pettersson, just like head up.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, I jumped up, and now suddenly it's going to be a 2-on-1 the other way. And sure enough, and I really like that Sherwood noticed Bluger was taking the puck, and so he's like, I don't need to go to the puck to get it to Bluger. I can just go and get ready for a shot attempt here. And it was quick. He, it's moments like that where you mm-hmm. see – that's what playing fast looks like to
yes.
me. And also Rick Tocchet mentioning, hey, these 8 minutes that they had some rush opportunities is the best he's seen since being in Vancouver.
Yeah, really solid stuff from the Canucks on that. And then JT Miller helped the Canucks take a 3-2 lead. And, I mean, JT does JT things driving the net, but that play happens because a nice passes made by Brock Besser to Springham.
And a lot of good work by Brock to beat Sidney Crosby up the ice. And you can see this way this develops.
Yep.
O'Connor goes wide. And I believe it was Hronek who is the one that kind of stands him up against the board. And O'Connor tries to lean it towards Crosby. And Crosby had to pull up because Brock beats him up the ice. And so O'Connor doesn't make a clean pass to Crosby. And there's Brock Besser to clean it up. And it was a quick up all the way to JT Miller, who gets a nice shot off. And Nedeljkovic gloves it down. And JT just puts a body into Erik Karlsson.
Yeah,
and if Karlsson boxes them out, maybe that puck bounces somewhere else, but they collide, puck goes off of them and in towards the net.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was a really nice play by JT, just strong play, and the way he bodied Letang, I mean, Karlsson was something
to
watch.
He crumpled, man.
He did, he just fell right over. And then, obviously, what ended up being the game-winning goal was Aristide Baines scoring, and a lot of good work from Teddy Bluger, but also, man, like, I'm sorry, a lot of good work from Daniel Sprong, but you got to give credit, too, to how that puck came alive. It came free to begin with.
Yep. And Rick Tocchet mentioned, and a lot of people asked questions, hey, what did you think about Branstrom? Mm-hmm. And behind the net, Erik Branstrom ends up pinning, I believe it was Bunting, and that's how the puck comes out in front. And we're talking about guys who are playing light, and Rick Tocchet even mentions, like, he's doing some things outside of just being able to wheel with the puck.
Yeah.
And you need to see those things. He pins a big body and a feisty player, right? It's not just like he's big and soft. Like, Michael Bunting is a load to deal with, and Branstrom pins him, and that puck goes out, and Baines touches it to Sprong, who activates and is force up the wing, works around Karlsson, and there's Aristide Baines for his first NHL goal. Ends up being the game-winning goal. What a moment.
Yeah, fantastic stuff from Aristide Baines, and we mentioned a Malkin goal a bit later. Desharnais falls over. It looks like Crosby kind of tripped him, whether it was on purpose or not, allowed Malkin to come in and beat Lankinen, then fell over, crashed into the post, and looked to be in some distress, but obviously stayed in the game. As far as how people are reacting to how the Canucks played, this one here says, this text says, give the Canucks credit for shutting down Sid tonight. He led all forwards in ice time and finished with 0 points and minus one. And the JT Miller line tonight was hard matched against Sidney Crosby, and they outchanced them significantly. 4 high dangers to 1 when JT Miller was out there tonight with Jake DeBrusk and Brock Besser. And the most common forward that JT Miller went up against tonight was Rickard Rakell at 9 minutes and 40 seconds and Sidney Crosby at 9 minutes and 13 seconds. So hard match against Sidney Crosby. And yes, you could say the Canucks won that matchup here tonight in a 4-3 victory. And he was pretty quiet overall, I'd say, as well. All right, we'll get to more texts coming up in a moment. But let's go to the phone boards, 604-280-0650. And let's go to Invermere, where we have Blake on the line. Blake, thanks for calling in, pal. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Canucks are getting another win. It's, you know, it's nice to see. I was just calling, you know, you guys just brushed on it, and just talked about it too in the interview, but Branstrom has looked really good. I know he was just a throw-in, as most of us kind of thought, with that Pullman trade, but he's given us some foot speed on the back end. He's given us, you know, some good passes up the zone, some good breakouts. And I saw him a lot tonight activating at the blue line a lot. You know, we signed a bunch of defensive defensemen, kind of shut down defensemen this offseason, and they're doing great, but we need a little bit of a mixture of both of them, in my opinion. And I feel like Branstrom is he's that missing piece that the Canucks need to kind of complement these defensive shutdown defensemen that we've signed. And I think the last few games, like, he's maybe not, you know, people maybe thought Branstrom, when he was first coming to the NHL, he's going to be this offensive power play one type guy. Maybe he's not that, but what he has done is he's shown that he can be that puck moving defenseman that teams might need and that the Canucks desperately need right now. And I think he's really made a really good compliment to a lot of the players we've signed from last year.
Hey, Blake, good thoughts, man. Thanks for your phone call and sharing what you thought about the game here tonight. And, I mean, Branstrom is getting a lot of praise. Corey, the physio, says played well, but he does struggle with contact. He makes up for it with his foot speed, though. That's Corey, the physio. And it's true. However, the coach was praising him the other day about how he's boxing guys out, too. listen, he's has to grow. He has parts of his game that have to grow. But he can do things naturally that this blue line does lack, to the point Blake made. He can skate the puck out of pressure. He can move the puck under duress. He's really good at tracking back, even when he's pinched in, because of his foot speed and because of how well he skates. So he can bring a lot of elements this team is lacking. Sure, there are parts of his game that have to improve, and if he wants to play higher up the lineup or play bigger minutes, he has to become more dependable. But I'm with Blake. That added dimension of puck moving is something this blue line needs outside of Hughes and Hirona.
There was a moment, I believe, in the third where a puck got knocked into his corner, and he was some distance away from it, and he's skating backwards. And Myers had helped. I think it was Rust who had just kind of chipped the body. But even then, it didn't look like Branson should have been the first one to it. And not only was the first one to it, he just wheeled around the net, and the puck was out of the zone. Like, you see how fluid and easy of an accelerator he is. There's a lot to like. He had a nice chop out on a rebound early in the third period, too. I thought this was the best game. Like, we've downplayed a little bit, but I thought this was his best game.
Now, a strong game from Erik Brännström. Canucks, a comeback victory, 4-3 over the Penguins. This is the Canucks of the Postgame Show. We're here from Archdeep Baines Pedersen and Ian McIntyre. That's next on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd.
And Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
At the moment, 7-3, I believe. And Garland's got it behind the Penguins goal center. And Fred Pettersson scores! There's his first of the year. Elias Pettersson hadn't scored an even strength goal in his last 33 games. But he rips it past Alex Nedeljkovic, and the Canucks are on the board. It's 2-1.
There couldn't have been a bigger goal for a more important player for the Canucks right now.
Yeah, I think everybody's, you know, you're really happy for that. You know, like this season, he's hit like three crossbars on a post. You know, if he, you know, 2 inches, you know, all season, he's probably got four goals. So then, you know, I think that's the shot you see, and it was just a hell of a shot. You know, that's the, and, you know, obviously Garland, that play there. But they've been, last two, three games, they've been around it. You know what I mean? Petey's been around it, and, you know, he's just got to stick with it. Great, great shot. And, you know, he's enjoying playing with those guys.
And that's Canucks head coach Rick talking and Elias Pettersson. You heard the call coming in. Gets his first goal of the season, helping the Canucks win 4-3 over the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you are listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show, brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. It's Satyar Shah with Bik Nizar on Sportsnet 650. You can send your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll get to Pettersson's thoughts. He met with the media postgame coming up momentarily. But let's get a couple texts in here. This one from Brandon and Poco. Poor Al Murdoch. He couldn't announce the second and third Vancouver goals after that massive atmospheric river downpour of offense. Brandon and Poco. Yeah, I mean, poor Al Murdoch, man. Like, you know, usually it takes a minute to get one call. He had to do three. As he's trying to call one goal, three goals get scored. Yeah. So it was pretty funny. That's a good text from Brandon and Poco. And Chris and Duncan says, how is Randeep feeling after going to L.A. to watch his Yankees lose? And it's watching Freddie Freeman hit a grand slam walk-off home run in the 10th. So Randeep is catching strays. But at least Randeep was back. He was working for Hockey Night in Punjabi and watching Archdeep Baines score tonight. So I'm sure that made the entire crew feel a lot better. But, hey, listen, at least he got to see history, right, going to L.A., to go to Chavez Ravine to watch his team lose. Historically, at least, you saw something that's never happened before.
And that was an epic game
in the World Series.
Yeah,
right?
That was an epic game. Who won game
take
two?
That.
Dodgers.
So 2-0 series lead for the Dodgers now.
Feels weird. Sounds like, oh, the evil empire. Meanwhile, another high spending team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, right.
What else are you seeing in the text inbox before we get to Pettersson?
Trent from Abbey. Brännström looked great since joining the team. Do we think he stays in the lineup when Forbert is back? It was mentioned, was it yesterday or today?
Yesterday.
About playing on the right-hand side by Tockett, who,
said he's played well when they viewed it in his previous spots.
Yeah, he mentioned the analytics looked good, and Brännström has spoken about how he's comfortable playing his offside and likes it too. So something to keep in mind when Derek Forbort comes back to the lineup, and he, as the coach mentioned today, Forbort expected back in town tonight, so not too long before he returns to the lineup, but maybe not as soon as Monday. So we'll see ultimately where things are at with Derek Forbort's return to the lineup. Lotso says, Tocchet has a special way of keeping his third and fourth lines accountable and playing important roles. I think it plays a part in the come-from-behind wins as well, and rolling four lines tonight, all lines scoring in a 4-3 win. All right. Elias Pettersson, it's been a big topic of conversation in this market, of course, and he finally got his first goal of the season, and here he is meeting the media post-game and talked about how nice it was to finally get one past the goaltender.
Yeah, good to get one, good play by Connor to find me, and yeah.
What's the shot? It's one that shows a lot of confidence. It's kind of a classic Petey shot there.
Yeah, I just tried to get it high on the far side, and luckily it went post and in.
What changed for you guys in the second period in that sequence where you scored those three goals?
We weren't happy with our first period. I think we were a little sloppy, not playing our way. Then they get their second goal, and I think we got the goal, and after that we got some juice, and we scored some quick ones.
How good do you feel for Arsh to score his first NHL goal and have it be the winner?
Yeah, super pumped for him. He works hard and makes plays. Great kid. More kid. Great guy. He's been having some chances to score, and but yeah, to finally feel that, and I'm sure he's have a lot of emotions now. So I'm really happy for him.
What have you learned about him over the last since he's been around here?
Right away, I saw he's a good player. He makes plays. He has the touch to make a sauce pass and make the right decisions. But then, like, he has the good habits of working hard, play the right way, and yeah, I think he's just gonna continue getting better for us.
Petey, your goal was off. Downhill pass up to you in the high slot, but after that, the next three were all off the rush. Does it feel like as a team you guys have an extra gear sort of attacking with speed this season?
Yeah, definitely. When we were trying to create from anywhere on the ice, and we had some looks to create or to score in the 5-on-5, but to get some goals off the rush. I mean, off Baines' goal, Sprong, I made a great play for skating from his own zone. Puck on pad and open net for Baines, so it's, yeah, good goals to see.
A lot to be happy with tonight, but I'm sure the power play is something you'll want to work on. Is there sort of anything you'd diagnose as sort of in need of attention?
I mean, we get the looks, but could we get better looks? Definitely. But yeah, just look at video, see what we can do better, and yeah, keep working on it.
1,000 games for Myers, what was it like being part of that celebration tonight?
It was cool. A lot of games. But, yeah, Myers is an unbelievable teammate. Always have your back. And, yeah, super happy for him and his family.
Elias Pettersson, after scoring a goal here tonight, and spoke about Tyler Myers. And you could hear got pretty happy when talking about Steve Baines scoring a goal. And, you know, you want to see
Should
him.
Should we play that kid's audio? I mean, guy's audio?
That guy's. We'll get to our Steve. Yeah, that's a good one, Vic. Yeah. And he said, yeah, that kid, that guy. I mean, yeah, he's not that young. A young man. And Pettersson's not that much older than Baines anyways. Yeah. Yeah, we'll play our Steve Baines and his thoughts as well post-game. Very emotional for him scoring his first career goal, and it happened in front of his hometown fans and team, the team he grew up cheering for. So that was a great sight to see. But you hope, Vic, that this gives Pettersson that extra bit of confidence that we see him really break out of whatever you want to call where his game has been, not only to begin this year, but also people want to go back to the playoffs and the end of last year. But it's a new campaign. It's a new season. He's stringing together a point streak here. Could this be something that really brings him to life offensively?
I still feel like we're going to have to view this over the course of 20 games.
Yeah.
But, hey, three-game point streak. And, you know, we've mentioned here recently, and I get it's harsh, and if he's going through something physically, it's understandable why certain things are transpiring the way they are. But at the end of the day, you know, like JT has gone through something, and he's had a three-point game. Elias Pettersson tonight is going to play 19 minutes and 11 seconds. You still need to have a bottom line. If you're going to play 19 minutes in this league, hurt, is not injured, right? If you're in the lineup playing 19 minutes, there's an expectation you produce. And tonight, he gets his goal, first one of the year, now points in three straight. That'll calm the waters a great deal from fans who are demanding a lot, and rightfully so demanding a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and some people are also demanding more from the team tonight. This text says, gentlemen, I have a hard time savoring this win because it's a Pittsburgh team that played the night before, is relying on a backup, and is on a general downward trend. We shouldn't have to score 4 goals in 6 minutes to win this one. I'm not being pessimistic, just pragmatic here. Not that Jake and Abby texting in.
Pragmatic.
Pragmatic.
The optimist pessimist.
The optimist pessimist. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a wrong use of pragmatism, but I get what Jake is trying to say here as far as...
They had chances in the end of the first.
Like we mentioned, like this wasn't the cleanest game by the Canucks. And even when we started the post-game show, the Canucks have won 4 games in a row. But just like I was saying when the Canucks lost the first 3 games, that, hey, it's early in the season, I wouldn't panic. I'm not going to sit here and say 4 games in that, oh, this team is dynamite. They figured it out. Mm-hmm. They're going to go, you know, streaking from this point on. It's early in the season. We're 7 games in. You know, but there were a lot of good things. I thought tonight, if you were in the building especially, the vibe was fantastic. A lot of great moments. It was a fun night of hockey. Mm-hmm. And it's early in the season that I'm not going to be sitting here and being overly critical about a victory. But as we've been outlining throughout the show, and as the head coach also mentioned, there are many parts of their games that have to improve individually as a team. And they will improve. We're 7 games in. It takes 20, 30, 40 games for a team to really establish and make their identity be forceful. Some good signs, but obviously a lot more that needs to be done. We're very early in the season still.
It's a process. It's a process, and you keep building upon it, and 2 more home games here. Against good competition, so it'll be nice to see. Like, I get it. Against Philly, Chicago, Pittsburgh, are these true measures? So we'll get better measures against Carolina, who plays style that is difficult to deal with, whether or not they're at their peak this season, because they've had attrition over the course of seasons in their pursuit of a Stanley Cup themselves. But nevertheless, like, they're a tough team to deal with in the regular season. In New Jersey, you know, one of the teams that came in with some expectations, a lot of investment, coaching change, Jacob Markstrom, all this. That's going to be a challenge. The Hughes Bowl, of course. Yeah. Like that's going to be a fiery game on Wednesday.
100%. It will be, and we look forward to seeing how the team responds and also some individuals respond to those types of opponents. Before we get to our Steve Baines, this text says, great for Petey to score a goal like that. It wasn't some fluke goal that bounces off his back and in. I think it will go a long way towards rebuilding his confidence. It was a nice snipe. He picks a corner, and you hope, again, that it's a goal that really gets him going. But a player who's been really the talk of the game because he got his first goal as a Canuck, first in the National Hockey League, and happens to be the game-winning goal, and that is our Steve Baines. And he met with the media post-game and still kind of short for words to describe the feeling scoring his first goal as a Canuck. Here he is post-game.
Yeah, I can't really even put it into words. I think, like I said, it just happened so fast, and you know, all the guys were so happy. It's just it was a special moment.
Can you talk us through the play?
Yeah, I think it started in the D zone, and kind of just got the puck on my stick, flat-footed, and sprung. Made a hell of a rush, hell of a play. Just took it all by himself, and I just went to the net when I saw him going towards it, and he made a good play off the pad, and felt like a gift.
You mentioned the team's reaction. What does that mean to you? Because it clearly meant a lot to them.
Yeah, I think everyone was, you know, took the time out, came over, gave me a hug, and it's something I won't forget. It.
For you personally, it's been such a short time for you between last year and this year, playing at this level, but it seems like you've had your share of ups and downs in terms of going there, coming back, and all of that. I mean, does this add some more to kind of where you're at?
For sure. I think it's been a journey. I think there's a lot you got to learn, and you got to learn quickly. And I think the guys have helped me, the staff have all, you know, helped me, believe in me, and just feels a step closer tonight.
Who's here tonight for you? Family members?
I got my mom and dad for sure, and there's for sure one or two, you know, people that are always coming in next year.
What's it like to know they were in the stands when you scored that first goal?
Yeah, I didn't really think about it throughout the second period, but then kind of came in here and settled down, and I know he's probably emotional, so I'll go see him after.
We heard during the intermission, you say Sedin said something to you today?
Yeah, we talked. They said they had a good feeling tonight, and, you know, I've been hearing that from a couple guys, and they're all pretty happy for me, and it almost felt like it was meant to be.
You mentioned the timeout. Was there any concern that they were taking a look at that one? Because I think that was what a lot of people were thinking when they stopped play after that.
Yeah, I didn't even know that happened. To be honest, that would have been tough. But I'm glad it went through.
After the goal, it looked like Sprong had skated real quick into the neutral zone to make sure he retrieved the puck. You have a laugh about that. Did that mean anything to you to see how eager your line mate was to get you that?
Yeah, he asked me almost, you know, like 2 seconds after the puck went in, he came up to me, and, you know, I think there's just those little things that, you know, that mean a lot.
Where's it going? Yeah.
Where's the puck going to go?
I'm going to go see my dad, give it to him right away, and then I'll see what he does with it.
That is Arshdeep Bains, you know, talking about how he can't really find the words to describe the feeling of getting his first goal. And as you would imagine, his family, his parents in the building as well, he gave the
Excellent.
Puck to his dad.
Excellent.
And I mean, honestly, it's, you know, as a hockey fan in general, seeing this is cool. As a Canucks fan, I think every single Canuck fan who grew up watching this team, who grew up wanting to be a Canuck player one day, can really relate to what the feeling would be like to finally wear that jersey and also score for your hometown team.
It's unbelievable.
It's fantastic.
Again, the whole story, undrafted, local product, doing it in the home arena, parents in the crowd, on Hockey Night in Punjabi as well. Like it's you wouldn't be able to write it any better.
No, you really couldn't. And a man,
now the one man who could.
Well, he could describe it far better than any of us. He is a wordsmith, and we call him the triple threat for good reason. You watch him on TV, you read him on digital, you're about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
Yeah, I don't think I wrote it better than the script. I don't think I was better. Couldn't do better than reality. You're right. It was a great, great moment for Baines. You know, I didn't know, and I should have before I talked to him after the game, I didn't know that he was also entirely undrafted in junior as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to junior as an invite, as a kid, basically the equivalent of a walk-on. And, you know, impressed them enough to stick. And then he's eventually leads the Western Hockey League in scoring after not being drafted twice by NHL teams, and then signs with Vancouver. And, you know, that's, on one hand, you think, oh, that's an easy decision for anybody who grows up here. Sure, they want to play for their hometown team.
Right.
On the other hand, that comes with an awful lot of pressure and a far bigger spotlight than what most players in Bain's position would have been subjected to trying to start a professional career. Like, forget about the NHL. Just try and prove that you can play in the American Hockey League, which he did quite quickly. And although the Canucks have taken advantage of his waiver-free status a couple of times to get a little flexibility for roster and salary cap, this is a guy that sure looks like he's going to be a fixture of this organization for years to come.
And it's the fact that he does something, and I noticed that you've mentioned this a lot too. It's okay, there might be a Daniel Sprong who's put up 40 points in this league and can play with a lot of energy. But if you're looking for something in particular this coaching staff values and wants, he does pick up the puck off the wall. He does do some things defensively. And you look at tonight, that whole play starts in the defensive zone. Mm-hmm. Aware to be in the right spot, gets the puck to Sprong, and then it's beeline right to the net and be part of that whole play.
Yeah, well, the reason, you know, Kiefer Sherwood was such an intriguing signing and was such a wild card is because, yeah, they signed him because he was great against them in the playoffs. He's physical, fourth-line guy, brings traits that you know that Rick Tocchet loves. And honestly, this team didn't have enough of.
Yeah.
So you can see that part of it. But the reason he's so intriguing is because he has so much skill as well. You know, he's been a scorer at other levels. And did I say this last time when I was asking DeBrusk about maybe I'm sorry I'm repeating myself, but I am that age now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I listen to my parents' stories dozens and dozens of times and just nod. So you guys can nod politely.
Yeah, I'll check my phone.
But DeBrusk said when I asked him a little while back, well, who has surprised you? He said Kiefer Sherwood, because he has such an incredible shot and he skates and he does everything. So I think Archdeep Baines is kind of in that category as well, because right now he's playing on the fourth line and he has to provide energy, and he's not playing like Kiefer Sherwood. I mean, he's not just running through guys, but he has learned to play a game from the bottom of the lineup. But you know that he has the skill,
right,
and has played at the top of the lineup in junior and in the American Hockey League. So that's why it feels like there's such a high ceiling for him. What we're seeing now is his toehold in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But if he's able to build his career, there's a chance that he's going to be much more than what he appears to be now.
Well, and if he is, then you talk about a player who's probably beat amongst the longest odds imaginable to become a National Hockey League player, and then to become perhaps a contributing National Hockey League player. I don't know what the odds of those things would be, but considering he went undrafted in the WHL and the NHL, those guys should not be making it to the National Hockey League. So it is a tremendous story.
Yeah, I mean, his story is one that reflects well on the organization, and in particular, it reflects well on Ryan Johnson, mm-hmm, and the player development department. It reflects well on Jeremy Colleton and the staff that was in Abbotsford the 2 years that Baines was there in the American Hockey League, because you know you don't just go from being an undrafted guy out of the Western Hockey League, even though he was so mm-hmm, so obviously talented. But you just don't go from there and 2 years later, you're playing for the Canucks, scoring your first NHL goal without a whole lot of people helping to build his game. And again, going back to the point I just made a minute ago, kind of transform his game and turn him into something that he hasn't had to be at junior, to get him to this point where now he's in the lineup and now he has a chance to earn more.
Well, and, you know, Bick and I were talking about this before you joined us a bit earlier, but if Dakota Joshua was ready to come back a Monday's game, considering how Baines played tonight, considering how Sprong played tonight, Joshua would come back if he was eligible, if he was ready to go on Monday. But it would be cruel to whoever would come out of the lineup, given how each forward performed tonight and also how some of these guys are trending.
Yeah, and you know what? It probably would be Baines, right? I hope not. That would be a tough call. I'm glad I'm not, you know, Rick Tocchet. But even if it is, I mean, Sprong and Baines are in different stages of their career, right? Even if it is Baines who comes out, and depending on numbers, may get another assignment,
right?
Right, to be in Abbotsford, but it doesn't change what we see. Or seems to what we seem to see is his standing, mm-hmm, with this organization, with this staff, with Alvin and Ryan Johnson, with Rick Tocchet and his coaching staff here. He's a player for their future, but showed tonight he's, even in the present, he can be a contributing NHL player. It's found money,
yeah.
You know, for a guy not drafted, and you know this organization, and even before this regime, has been fairly active in looking for value. You know, there were some such lean draft years,
right,
in some cases where they were making up for it, either the lack of picks or just not having enough prospects, you know, by really focusing on college free agents and Canadian Hockey League free agents and free agents more recently, free agents out of Europe, unsigned guys, you know, Nils Åman, a guy who's drafted but was not signed, and now he's available. So it's really hard to turn those players into NHL players, but I think what we're seeing, or at least partly what we're seeing, other than that this player development program is pretty good now in Vancouver, and they have a lot of people working at it compared to how it used to be, But if the more at bats you give yourself, the greater chance you have of hitting a homer with someone, and sure looks that way right now with Archdeep Baines.
It's not a tired conversation tonight. Elias Pettersson gets the goal.
A fresh conversation. Yes, he scored against a goalie at 5-on-5.
Yes. Yeah, he scored 5-on-5 on top of it, too. Yeah, he gets a goal, and it looked the shot looked confident, and the shift right after looked like a player who just had a little bit of buzz all over again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes some weight off his shoulders, and he's a player that we've seen both on the ice and off the ice sometimes that, you know, it has an effect on him.
There's a weight there.
Yes. I mean, we started to see it before his contract, you know, when his contract negotiations intensified. Mm-hmm. And the Canucks really, I don't want to say strong-armed him because that's too strong a term, really pressed him.
Yes.
Right?
I wouldn't say coerced either. We're kind of in between.
Well,
in
I mean, how much are you coercing somebody offering $93 million? Dollars,
I think the kids nowadays call it finessed.
Finessed. Yeah, oh, finessed. There you go. I got finessed.
Well, perhaps they finessed him. And we saw his game kind of start to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. At that point, and of course he later said that he was bothered by his knee. He's just has looked like a guy with a lot on his mind, and hopefully scoring a goal his first of the season, but his first at 5-on-5 since March 5th, his first at even strength because he had an empty netter on March 19th. But that was a long time. I mean, you're talking about last March. We're almost in November of that calendar year. So
Scorpio season.
Hopefully it helps him, you know, just approach the next game and maybe get some, you know, some relief from the drama around him. You know, the players always say, or they usually say, that they don't pay attention and that they don't read, and it's out of their control, and they only control what they can control. But you cannot, when you play in this market, you cannot escape knowing what's, to some degree, what's being said about you. And of course, Elliot Friedman, you know, as part of his 32 Thoughts, talked about Pettersson's friends notifying him, what's sending him things from social media. So that's not good. As Elliot said, that's really not good for a player. Hopefully this just makes it a little easier for the next couple of days for Elias Pettersson, and maybe he scores another goal on Monday.
So does the gaze shift now towards Jake DeBrusk, who's got the zero, or is that a four-game winning streak, everything's all right?
Yeah, I mean, it's noteworthy, but they're such in different positions, Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk. Like one guy is brought in as to be, you know, a top six winger, but be a complementary piece. The other guy is starting an 8-year, $92.8 million contract and had a terrible playoff and not a good second half generally. So I think the pressure level on them and the fact that Pettersson is a returning core player and an alternate captain and a guy that clearly the franchise is pinning its future on, you know, on his ability to continue to be, as he has been, an elite player in the National Hockey League. Well, Jake DeBrusk isn't any of that.
Yeah.
Even though he's come on a big contract and is the marquee free agent acquisition from the summer, he's not expected to lead this franchise. He's expected to help.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I think he has helped. I know that he puts a lot of pressure on himself as well. He has been a slow starter, typically in Boston, and let's remember as well. Like, despite the hype, is it 24 goals he's averaged over 82?
Yeah,
games? Like I mean, we're talking about a guy who's like a good NHL player, but this isn't a guy that you're expecting to score 40 like you might be expecting Elias Pettersson to score. So I think they're in entirely different worlds, but they're similar in that there's, you know, pressure and probably internal pressure, their own pressure, these guys to produce. What? And, you know, Pettersson doesn't talk about it, and DeBrusk does.
Yeah.
And I know that Jake really wants to open his account as a Canuck and feels like he needs to put some numbers on the board.
Well, and, you know, I always say this about 20-goal scorers. There's at least 60 games a year they don't score in, right? And that's a lot. So there's a lot of games where 20-goal scorers don't score in. But hopefully he finds a net, and it could be beyond that here with the Canucks. Before we let you go, a lot of people are asking this question on the text inbox. Kevin Lankin has won 4 straight games for the Canucks, 5 starts so far, 1 loss in overtime, has a 1.95 goals against, .930 save percentage through 5 games. Is it stupid to ask who starts on Monday?
No, it's not stupid to ask because they don't want to freeze out.
It's been a while.
Shelox, yeah. Right? It has been a while because this has been – it's been a fairly leisurely schedule to this point. You know, the 4-game road trip was pretty manageable. These homestand, you know, 2 games at the start – there's days in between. They've had lots of days off. So on one hand, it makes it easier just to stay with Lankinen because he's not getting tired. But you also have to keep an eye on Shelov's because you can't – nobody seems to know. And if the Canucks know, they're certainly not telling us how long Demko's going to be out. So if you don't know how long Demko's going to be out, you need to make sure you're keeping both of these guys involved. If you knew Demko was going to be fine in 3 weeks or a month, whatever it is, you can say, okay, we're going to ride Lankinen really hard. And if Shelov's gets cold and can't, you know, has no hope when he goes back in, we'll live with that because we know we got Demko coming back. They don't know when Demko's coming back. So they're going to need, you have to, I think, have the outlook. You need both these goalies. Plus, Shelov's is, I mean, he was the projected number 2. He was the opening day starter, and he is a huge prospect for this organization. I think it's, you know, going to be hard for him when Demko does come back, and let's hope that Demko does, that we see him this season.
Yeah.
Because Lankinen's not going anywhere. That much I'll say.
Yeah.
For a while, Lankinen's not going anywhere. So probably Shelov's, who's waiver ineligible, doesn't have to go through waivers, probably going to get some time if Demko recovers to further refine his game in Abbotsford. But for now, he's you know, one of only 2 goalies on this team, and they want to keep him involved. Back to your question, which you asked me 5 minutes ago.
I mean,
you just stay with Lankinen for now, right?
You there's days between four there's, in a row,
and there's
right?
days between
five,
games.
It would be 5 in a row on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, you say 5 in a row, but it's like you won 4 games in a row. Like,
yeah.
Do you stop the streak? Or
it would just be funny though, in the context of, you know, we really got to lighten the workload of Thatcher Demko, and then immediately it's like, hey, 5 games for Kevin Lankinen. You weren't even here for most of the preseason, and away you go. It's like we're not learning any lessons whatsoever.
Well, honestly, I mean, Shelov's has had 2 starts, right?
And
we're 7 games in. If Thatcher Demko was playing and he had played 5 of the 7 with this schedule, I don't think anyone would have an issue with him playing the 8th game.
Sure, yeah.
I feel the same way with Lankinen.
Yeah, we'll see ultimately how
Plus,
it goes.
You know, I did have a good conversation with Kevin in Chicago, and, you know, he says it's not just this season or this train, because I was making the point, well, you had so little preparation, you didn't even sign until training camp started, which meant you missed the actual training camp in Penticton, and then you got 2 pre, and he said, yeah, but he's been preparing for this for 4 years. You know, it's not like all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I got to play 4 in a row. It looks like I'm a starter for now. He's been preparing himself for the next step at the NHL level. Is just taken until his 5th season for him to get this opportunity, but it was this opportunity specifically with Demko out that drew him to Vancouver, because he also made the point that he had been in touch fairly regularly with teams. Mm-hmm. First of all, could have gone back to Nashville. That was available to him. He took a leap of faith that, no, I want to do more with my career than just be UC Saros' backup. So he decided and was willing to kind of go out on a limb a bit in free agency and see what else was out there. You know, a bold move. But he said that he was in touch regularly with some teams. Didn't tell me how many, didn't tell me which other ones. Obviously, the Canucks were one. They talked to him throughout the summer. So he knew he had a great idea, even though training camps are getting ready to open, and he's not signed. He had a great idea what his options were and where the best fit was going to be. And so far, I think both sides are really happy that he has come to Vancouver.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Ian, that brings us to the end of the show. Great stuff as always. Can't wait to read your latest on Sportsnet.ca. Fun night here at Rogers Arena. Canucks make it four straight wins, beating the Penguins 4-3. I'm Satyar Shah. He's Bik Nizar. Thanks to Lena. Thanks to Eddie back at the station for all your hard work and all of you for listening, participating, being part of the show. Can't wait to chat again on Monday on the post-game show. Before that, we have pregame. A lot happening. The People Show, Canucks Central. Stay tuned for more on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.